Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing movies your own, so Ryan picked the movie Memento, made in 2000. We bring you movie news, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens,
hello,
and possibly Ryan Preston. Hey. Since Ryan's here not to read his pick, I'll do it. It's a man creates a strange system to help him remember things so he can hunt for the murder of his wife without his short-term memory loss being an obstacle. And holy crap, I forgot Sarah Seidel was in this.
Yeah, there's also the hotel guy, the hotel manager or whatever. He's also one of the main characters from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, crap, Bobby. You're right.
Yeah, Bobby.
Oh, wow.
So
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that one kind of took me by surprise. I was like, oh, wow, I forgot that.
It's like, I know this guy, and I think at least for Sarah Seidel or Georgia Fox, however you actually say her name, I think this
Yorgay.
Was... I think this was on the parody with the first season of...
I think so. I think CSI came out the same year. I'm pretty sure. We could... have taken 2 seconds to look that up before we did the show.
It's about 2000 something. I actually looked it up before the show, but I forgot. Didn't save my notes.
Well, why didn't you save your notes?
It didn't save.
Alrighty.
Come on, give me a break.
No.
And I love Guy Pearce. I've loved Guy Pearce since the first time I see him in L.A. Confidential. He just has a very unique look, and he's actually a hell of an actor.
He is a hell of an actor, and I think he did a good job in this movie because, I mean, he played kind of a mixed bag of characters.
Mixed bag of nuts.
Yeah.
And this movie is, the first time I heard of this movie, I heard it was, it was an amazing disconjointed mess. And... Well, I'd call it disjointed because it definitely takes you out of your comfort zone when you watch it.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It actually makes sense considering I'd call it, it's pretty much played backwards.
It is played backwards. And I mean, the opening scene, and that's one of the notes I had first, is how many kids, I say kids, but from like 95 up are wondering why the hell he's shaking a picture. Because, I mean, people that actually understand what's going on, you'll see the picture and it's perfect. In the beginning, then he shakes it, and then it's, like, starting to go out of focus.
But, by the way, that was actually the first thing. When I re-saw this, I'm like, I wonder how many people are going to get the fact he's using a Polaroid camera.
Yeah, I mean, just off the bat. And they do have Polaroids these days. They call them Polaroids, but they're nowhere near
what they were back then. Yeah.
So, and that's the interesting thing. And I mean, he's got the little box kind of one that, is just quick, easy refills. But
I would say the star power of this movie is actually kind of amazing. You got Mark Boone Jr.
Bobby.
Yeah, Joe, and I've never been able to pronounce this guy's name right. Joe, this is Teddy. Joe Pantoliano?
Pantoliano.
And Carrie Ann Mawson. I actually think she probably added the most star power, considering she had the least amount of scenes, and to me, they're most rememberable.
Yeah, she did a great job interacting, and the way she kind of played it off both ways, and I mean, he's even saying, I'm really good at reading people, but he couldn't read her after.
Oh, no.
She went psycho.
Oh, yeah. She went, and it's amazing. She totally had the feel of, okay, she's cool, and... The scene was amazingly acted. Oh, she's friendly and all that. And then later on, towards the end of the movie, when you saw the reason why that she just wanted him out of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was really hoping she would die quicker in this movie. Turns out she doesn't die.
You forgot, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't die. She does not have the 9-minute Trinity death scene.
I was really hoping for a, not a Trinity.
Hold on. I got one more thing to say.
One more comment, please.
But, excuse me. But, this one for me is one of those great films where the storyline kind of keeps you entranced because you're not really sure what's going to be going on, who he, kind of where the plot devices is probably where I should start. The plot devices in this one are... like you said, backwards and kind of conjointed, and you got to figure out. It's a total film that.
Well, I would say this is the storyline's pretty. I mean, it's kind of a simple whodunit, but the twist on it is really well done. It's disconjointed, and the tattoos and the notes really lend itself to me to have a kind of engrossed you. Kind of okay, did this do it? Did this do it? I mean, it was kind of obvious, but still, I was.
The thing is you're looking at his notes, and he's got there in there, you know, don't trust this guy, this chick is going to do it out of sympathy, when exactly. It's not really sympathy. So it kind of takes those little things that he was saying, you know, like, my job got me trained for this, and you start thinking, okay, well, he's on the right track, and then you find out, wait a minute, no, he's not. And for me, the way that they always leave this story open at the end is it's like one of those where it's like, was any of the ending of the film actually true?
I love...
That's the one thing that's always left me is like, is any of this ending, the last half hour, any of it true?
It could totally be like the Bob Newhart show ending, if anybody here is actually old enough to see it, is the fact it turned out to be a dream.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact, you know, this movie's kind of like an onion. There's different layers in it, and at least it, to me, that was the part that really kept me engrossed. It was, there's the one scene he looked at it, and you saw that the Polaroid of Natalie.
Yeah.
It said, you know, you can trust her or whatnot. And later on in the movie, you know, Teddy made Guy Pearce's character write, cannot trust her type of thing.
Yeah.
And that was another layer. It turns out that the cop or whatever he was right.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, I mean, it was amazingly well done.
Well, you look at the beginning of the film. The very beginning, and we work backwards, remember? So the very beginning of the film is him shooting Teddy in the head. So now my question to people, the end of the movie, Teddy's still alive. So now, what's going on? That's why I always say in this film, for me... It leaves it open.
Oh, I totally agree. This is a movie I almost want a sequel, but I'm not willing to have them ruin it in order to do it.
Yeah, they would definitely butcher this one.
I think if they ended up trying to make a sequel, it would ruin the uniqueness of this movie by trying to reproduce the way the first one was cut. You know, I bet they'd try to do it similarly, you know, exactly the same, you know, disconjointed kind of jumps.
Well, I mean, do you think that Chris Nolan would take it over? Do you think he'd be down for even doing a sequel on it? I don't see him doing that.
No, I don't see it because I don't see any artistic reason to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, I after seeing this, I can kind of see doing it. I mean, the movie's, 15 years old at this point? Maybe 16, 17 by the time it's actually released in the new one. I can see doing it, but this is one of those movies to me that you should never touch. Just leave it alone. It's been done. I would almost consider this, the way it's done, a perfect movie in its uniqueness. It's a unique way of telling the story. It's been done, obviously. The uniqueness of the clues, it's been done, but not together with the disconjointed storytelling.
Well, yeah, but Chris Nolan has a he's really good at doing this type of thing. I mean, just to say, like, 2 years after this film, he did Insomnia with Robin Williams and
that's true.
Scarface, Al Pacino.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that one was another one kind of like this where, you know, you have a lot of disconjointed clues that start to unravel and come together and become a coherent type of story.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So he's got the skill to do it. But
I just don't...
my issue is, are they going to continue with Guy Pearce's character and have him still going, or is this going to be another one where it's you get a character kind of like that or somebody that has relations with him or something? You know, what would you see as a sequel? Because I don't see a sequel.
The only
here.
Way I could do a sequel is the only way. You remember the anime Boogie Pop Phantom?
Yes.
The way they did storytelling is the main character in one episode was a secondary character in the other.
Yeah.
If they did something like that, where Guy Pearce's character turned into an ancillary character, that I would do.
And then you got Teddy or.
Or somebody.
What's her name?
It could be what's his name? The guy from Sons of Anarchy. There's so many other characters you could have be the main character.
Well, I don't think Bert had enough in
He didn't. Actually, carry on, Moss's character.
Yeah, Natalie.
I think that would be cool. And I was going to say that the acting in this movie was, you know, it was very basic, but it was really well done. It fit the movie perfectly. It wasn't overdone. It wasn't underdone.
Yeah, but you got two characters. The two main characters, Guy Pearce and Carrie Ann Moss. So I always forget Guy Pearce's. Leonard. Whatever.
Leonard.
Yeah.
He hasn't won an Oscar yet either.
You got his character where he kind of plays two different characters. You got the one in his memories, whatever they were.
And that was actually really well done, having it kind of the noir, mm-hmm. black and white. I liked that touch.
Yeah, so you got the guy he's playing at that moment, and then you got the kind of ditzy, I don't really know what's going on here. So he's playing two characters.
And I would say
And then you got Natalie, who's playing two characters as well. She's playing the bitch, and then she's playing also the friendly, I'm here to help you, the sympathetic friend.
I would kind of take it maybe three characters, and by the way, this is very stretching it, but I would say you have the detective side of Guy Pearce, you have the noir-esque scenes, and you have the murderer.
Okay.
There's not enough really to give it a name, but that's kind of the feeling I get. Because most of the movie, he's trying to detect what's happening. And then you have these moments where he just beats the living shit out of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, even guys watching, fans of Roadhouse, be like, whoa, you know? Because there's a couple of scenes where he body slams some guy or pretty close to.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Which kind of makes me go back, like, were you really an insurance guy? You know? Because what the guy, Teddy, kept going to him is, like, you don't even know who you are.
Well, see, the thing is, they never actually said it. And I actually totally think it towards the end. Well, actually, I don't remember if they said it, but... Oh, no, they did. Sorry. How he was basically saying the story he was telling the whole time was him and Georgia Fox.
Yeah.
Because the craziest thing... One of the things I always thought was weird was they showed... They showed him injecting Georgia Fox with insulin, and the other guy doing it to his wife.
Yeah, Sammy.
Yeah,
Jenkins.
Yeah, the weird thing about that is I've never known a diabetic that didn't do it themselves. That was the first thing I'm like, is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But no, so that was like you could totally start seeing there were similarities between that.
Yeah, she could have also gotten like diabetic, pregnant diabetic. Diabetes it actually stuck with her. But, you know, there's no baby.
It
could be a miscarriage and she got stuck with that. I don't know. So there could be that. And and that's why he's the guy that does it. But there wasn't enough backstory. And you're right. Most diabetics do it themselves. They're used to that. But I don't know. But, so, you know, you got that coming out that's who you are. But the thing is that he kept fighting it. Saying, I don't remember that. She wasn't diabetic.
No, see, I think there's definitely more to the story because that was the story that was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
But they also said that was the story the story with Sammy Jenkins, that was the story you practiced. So how do you know the insurance salesman was part of it? And he's really just, he could be a mafia killer for all you really know.
Yeah.
They don't really give enough to his character, which... I thought was kind of cool because it's really a blank slate, character-wise.
Yeah.
And you leave the movie still not knowing anything about the character.
Yeah, well, like one of the big things that I wrote down, and I'm actually going to pull it up and read it, is...
Wow.
This movie seems to be the Groundhog Day from hell. Seriously, that's kind of what it is for him. If you actually just boil it down to the basics of it, is every few moments he's waking up, like that one scene where he's in the guy's car. And, you know, you got a couple scenes back right before they explain how that all happened, is you got him, like, literally running, like, what am I doing?
See,
and then he goes, wait a minute, oh, I'm chasing this guy. He starts to go over to chase him, then he shoots, and he's like, oh, crap, no, I'm running.
I called that the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy moments, because it's kind of like a bit of internal dialogue running. What am I doing? Oh, I'm chasing him. Oh, never mind, I'm running away from him.
What do I call this thing coming up at me? Oh, that's a bullet. I mean, ground.
And totally what it, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, like the whole thing where he's like, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to surprise him. Goes to the hotel, knocks out some black guy, some random black guy. And then he's like, oh, wait.
Sorry.
I did the 6 and the 9 upside down. Goes over there and breaks into the guy's hotel room. And that's a horrible system if you could just pop the door like that with a credit card. Just kind of pointing that out, guys. Well, if you can do that to a hotel, don't stay there.
Well, this was supposed to be... When this was supposed to take place? Is the mid-early 90s?
Yeah, I'd say early 90s. And, I mean, they still had... They had the key cards back then. Not all of them did, but there was some that did.
That looked like it was supposed to be a cheap motel.
Yeah, but anyways...
$40 I mean, a week?
But this is supposed to take place in Southern California. You have a little bit better security in most of those stores.
I hope so.
Just putting that out there.
I hope so.
Anyways, so then he gets in there, and he's like, I need a weapon, finds the alcohol bottle, and then sits down, and he's kind of there. And then not even like 30 seconds later, what? I don't feel drunk. What's going on here? And then he goes to take a shower. So it's like... That type of character where he just kind of switches from this badass guy who's gonna jump this guy to being the innocent guy. What the hell is going on? So I always wanted to know where that transformation back to that badass character came in.
It's almost like
natural reflex. Like you're saying, he could be a mafia assassin.
Well, he was saying it was instinct. So that I've never seen an insurance guy with that type of instinct.
Yeah.
Must have been an IRS agent.
Yeah, so that, and then the thing that always bugged me about towards the end of it is that he kept on saying, and he said it multiple times, is I remember everything up until the point of the accident. So he would know that his wife is diabetic or not, even if he tried to train his mind to be that way. No. You know?
See, the problem, the thing that I always thought was amazing with that is they just say accident. Well, they give you the stuff he's practiced and the stories. They don't ever actually tell you how his wife dies. For all you know, yeah. She could have died in a car accident.
Yeah.
Or he could have killed her.
Yeah. You know, he could have totally been the guy in there, you know, killing her.
Yeah.
After they had sex. And then claim it was a rape
thing.
That
was one of the reasons I like this movie, because it leaves you with such a vague feeling, yet it's not vague enough that leaves you unfulfilled. You're actually like, wow, I'm movie-wise, I'm filled. It was really well done.
Yeah, hold on. I think I might have Ryan calling him myself.
Uh-oh, this should be interesting.
Well, I'll just do it here, and I'll kick it on speaker and bring the mic closer, I guess.
So we're having some minor technology issues in the old Guy Tech TV studio
anyways,
this week.
So, you know, that's kind of where I've always been, is that, you know, like you're saying, is how much open-ended is this movie, and how much of this are we just completely reading into? Because I've always come away after the film is I always enjoy it. I think it's a great film. I think the acting is really good. The storytelling, things like that are really great. But then you got the whole plot holes,
I think
I just pointed out.
I think most of this movie is... You're reading into it. And I actually think that's one of the reasons I like it, because they provide you enough information to do that.
And I think the thing about it is that I think that's why they did the film the way they did and didn't give it a complete ending.
And it was cheap, too. I think this was only a $9 million film.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, they didn't have that many sets, really.
I think most of it would be paying off the actors and probably permits.
Yeah, and then you probably also... Well, even if they could have done jungle...
guerrilla filming.
Yeah, guerrilla film.
But no, I mean, I this is still one of the reasons I still think... excuse me. Independence film, because I think this was an independent film, wasn't it? Or at least small budget
films.
Yeah,
this was his... this one, for me... Is
small
where Chris Nolan really got on the map.
So I'll just call it a low budget film can really up the ante, because you really have to focus on something on a low budget film, and I think he focused on everything that would give this movie popularity for years to come, because it's a cult classic.
Yeah.
Based on the way the cut, the skips and timeline go.
Yeah, this is Nolan's third film directing.
What was his first one?
Doodlebug, which is a short, in 97, and then he did Following. Trying to pull that up. Anyways, it's one I haven't seen. It's a murder mystery type thing.
Okay. On the verge of at least, you know, a whodunit.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's kind of where I'd put it is, but pretty much his third film. This one, I remember when this one came out, how many people were just blown away by how good of a film it was.
Oh yeah, no, I remember this film getting rave opinions. I mean, almost rave reviews of like Pulp Fiction when it came out.
Yeah, and then as far as I'm concerned, is he did a fantastic follow up. With Insomnia. If you guys haven't seen that film, I think we did that one, didn't we? I'm pretty certain we did that one a year or two ago. And that one is another fantastic film by Nolan. Then he goes straight in it from there into the Batman saga. So, you know, I think yeah.
Wow, so Batman was really kind of the rest of the world's introduction.
Blockbuster, yeah. That was a big blockbuster film. Yeah,
so
as director.
So what do you give this movie?
You know, I give this one a straight out 4 out of 5. It's, you know, for me, it wasn't the big blowout of some of the other ones that he's got. But this one, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, most of the films I've seen of Nolan are 4 or 5s.
I'm with you. I'll give this a 4 to 5. I think if I want people to watch a Nolan movie, I'm going to say skip the Batman's first, watch this.
Yeah. I would say skip the Batmans and watch this one, and throw in Insomnia too.
You'll kind of get to see his tools of the trade, you know, his tricks and tools of the trade. Because Batman is, as much as I hate to say it, it's just a standard Batman movie, really, just done a little bit different.
I mean, you really can't screw up Batman that badly. hold on, I'm prefacing this, except for a few. There are a few exceptions to that, but Batman's a pretty easy story to tell.
As long as you don't have Arnold Schwarzenegger or Uma Thurman in it.
And don't give Batman nipples. Not on a suit.
Holy bat nipples. Ladies and gentlemen, do you love us, hate us? We'll read you on air. If you're clever, no more. You suck! Make sure
give
you
give us
know.
A reason.
Yeah, and tell Besides us on Facebook page. I also want to give a shout out to apparently one of our biggest fans, Elizabeth Riffey. So, hey, thank you for being a fan and liking us. How about pause the cause and giving money to Old Guide Tech TV to be like a cord motel and help keep the lights on? And since Ryan kind of failed at his job to bring movie news, on our Facebook page, I posted quite a bit of movie news today because I was looking. And on the Not Again department, Marky Mark, or Mark Wahlberg, as all
Marky
you
Mark.
Young people call him, has confirmed he's returning for Transformers 5. Holy shit.
What?
Yeah, there's going to be
Is this another Michael Bay, too?
Yeah.
No.
It has to be. He's the only one who's directed him. Which, you know, after there was an interview with him that he said, somebody was complaining about all the CGI and the action movie, and he's like, somebody said along the lines of, you do movies for teenage boys, and his comment was, what's wrong with that? And when you look at his bank account, you can obviously say nothing, because it's been good for him.
Yeah.
Maybe not for my beloved Transformers, but, you know, such is what it is. And on our Facebook page, there's the first look at Michael Fassbender on the set of Assassin's Creed.
I've been looking forward to them doing one like
and
this.
And he played Magneto, right?
I believe so. My thing about them doing this is, are they going to do it off of the back of the Helix type thing and the being able to be in any type of, throughout history?
I'm hoping this
or
is...
Or are they going to pick a certain area and focus on that? Like
I'm,
a certain
I'm,
point in history?
I'll be honest. I haven't read up too much on it. I'm hoping this is... I'm kind of hoping this is just one set point in time. Because jumping time to time, to be honest, would just drive me fucking nuts.
Now, I haven't seen the new Hitman film, but I'm going to kind of compare these two a little bit because they do kind of have... Because
I've seen the new Hitman.
Comparison. I enjoyed Timothy Oliphant's Hitman, and I think they did a great job of that one. The one after it, I forget the name of it.
The new one, Hitman 40, it's like 47 or, you know.
44 or something. Yeah, so
it was 47.
40-ish. Hitman 40-ish. They didn't do so well with that.
With the new one?
Yeah, from what...
I don't know. I liked the new one, but... I'm kind of a fan of Oliphant. The new guy did a decent job, but it wasn't the one I really liked. is much. Right.
So now, this one kind of surprised me in the news bit. The action adventure movie Point Break topped the weekly box office chart. Wait for it. Wait. In China.
Which one did?
Point Break, the new Point Break.
They released it?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Like, it, right? I didn't know that until today.
Wait. Whoa.
Yeah,
Kind of impression.
I had no idea that they released it, that it was even coming up to be released.
I knew they were redoing it. I didn't know they were going to release it.
The box office charts.
By the way.
In China.
That was the worst. You released it a couple of weeks before Star Wars? Seriously? What, you guys, brains in your ass? Matter of fact, Tarantino, I heard, is either going to move up or move later. Hateful Eight, because he knows he's going to get trounced by Star Wars.
I think he needs to move it back. I think he should do it
January?
After the first of the year, because Star Wars, I mean, I'm not even going to bother trying to go to the theater for at least a month before I think about going out and seeing it. Just on the fact that, I mean, so many fanboys. I mean, this one's going to be bigger than the prequel for Star Wars. Number two, where everybody's like, oh my God, Yoda's doing a fight scene.
Almost had
Remember?
To hold. Yeah, had to hold down a whole body shudder as you mentioned the prequels, though.
But I mean, the fact. Do you remember how big of a deal it was
to actually see
Yoda fight?
You were like, oh my God, Yoda!
But there was so many people.
You were like a 4-year-old little girl with a Barbie doll.
But there were so many people that were like, went and saw the movie like 4 times.
No, seriously.
Before the first of the year. And this one was another one that was released on Christmas.
And I know, I totally think you're right. I think Tarantino, unfortunately, because I think, from what I've heard of Hateful Eight, it sounds like a good Christmas movie, as odd as it sounds being a Tarantino movie. And that's been his...
Jingle your balls.
But that's been his release dates, too, because Django Unchained was a Christmas.
Yeah. So.
I actually agree. I think it should be January, maybe February, because January people are kind of reeling from all the money they spent for Christmas. But I totally agree. I think he's going to have to move it back.
I
totally agree. And the other one, the full trailer for Star Trek Beyond is here, and I think that's the third in the trilogy of J.J. Abrams' version of Star Trek, even though he's not the helms of this one.
But
I know we've reviewed the last one a couple of times, one being a flashback episode where we go back and, you know, do we still agree with our opinions? That one just doesn't sit right with me because it's basically the Wrath of Khan.
It is the Wrath of Khan.
So I'm looking forward to this one because this is J.J. Abrams' universe of Star Trek, but not him at the helm.
And do we have a decent synopsis of what it's about?
I haven't actually looked at that, so if you can do me a favor, keep talking.
Because, I've been saying it for a long time, is I want something of the Neogenics War.
I don't think it's
I've been pushing for that for a long time. I think any real Star Trek fan would kind of jump on me about that.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Less utopia, more dirty gritty. And according to this, at the time of a recording, IMDb has no plot.
Okay.
So everything sounds like it's being really close to the chest.
All right, because, I mean, I really want to push for that Neogenics War because I want to know. They always hinted about it, but they really didn't get to go into
detail.
Oh,
the very first episode of TNG talks about it.
Yeah.
So, no,
there's other hints throughout.
I'm totally down with that. I want to see a dirty and gritty, less utopia, more chaos version of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be an interesting way to show Gene Roddenberry's vision. Not J.J. Abrams, but Gene Roddenberry's. Because Gene Roddenberry has a completely different version, in my opinion, of Star Trek versus what J.J. Abrams shows.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's on the same spirit,
but
they're different.
There's like this kind of line, and they're kind of parallel on things. But yeah, I want to see.
There's less lens flare in Gene Roddenberry's version.
True. But, you know, what is it? The visionary's eye.
Yes, no, totally. And so next week, instead of doing a theater pick since it's Christmas, and well, we don't particularly want to go to theater on Christmas.
We don't want to fight the lines.
That's a bingo. So we're going to do a Christmas movie, at least our definition of one. So Real Flicks Review is seeing the movie Krampus.
Yeah. And did we want to release a show for this that we're going to be watching as well?
That's why not.
Ryan, I know, already agrees with this one. We talked about it a little bit last week. So we're going to be looking at Ash versus the Evil Dead. I think they're in episode 8, so it's still pretty early. But we're going to do the pilot, get a look at it, or the first episode, whatever they wanted to call it. Either way. So, yeah, I'm good with it.
Cool. So we have no idea what Ryan is giving Memento, even
a five.
Though...
I'm pretty sure a 4 or 5.
I was to say, he's probably in line with us. I might, let's let him tell us next week if...
Well, it's movies you own.
True. And especially with his comment last week, watch it to see what he said. I gave the movie Memento a 4 out of 5. James gave it a 4 out of 5. Ryan is, well, we'll see next week. And next week we're doing the movie Krampus, because we don't want to wait in line.
And... Ash
versus the Evil Dead. And as always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye.